When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Bears fans, it's time for On the Clock with a Score Zone Mark Grody covering the latest on another potential historic draft. Featuring experts and analysis on this red-hot offseason storyline that's the headline of the league. Right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score and always live on the free Odyssey app. Here's Mark Grody.
I'm in the right place to cover the Chicago Bears and everything that is going on with them. Today's episode of On the Clock is coming at you live from the NFL Combine in Indianapolis, Indiana, as we welcome you into the program. Thank you so much for being with us here on the clock. We are here now until 7 o'clock, so we will have a jam-packed hour of everything that is going on with the Bears right now. We've got our producer, Alex Kuhn, back in our downtown Chicago studios, and we do have a couple of terrific, top-notch guests on this show tonight. One of those being the former quarterback, Chris Sims, now a media man doing stuff for NBC. Also on the show tonight to talk about the NFL and the Chicago Bears and everything going on here at the Combine will be Josina Anderson of CBS. You probably remember her from her days at ESPN. I had a great conversation with her at the Combine today as well. I can't wait to bring you that conversation. And Chris Sims coming up here in just a few minutes. I am pretty sure, here's what I know, because there is a correlation between this show, I like to think of it as my show, it's a pop-up show, and On the Clock, a correlation between this show and what is going on with the Bears right now. I do believe that this will be a full season of On the Clock, a full season in which, unlike last year, the number one overall pick will not be traded. Now, if that is the case, if we have to say that still, I think we'll have a pretty good idea of the quarterback that they're going to pick, and maybe there's not the same kind of drama. But my show, this show, On the Clock, will not be sabotaged by some trade of Ryan Poles to get, I don't know, DJ Moore here and the pick that they have right now. So that looks like it's going to be the case. The Chicago Bears are going to be a vastly different team next year. I can't imagine at this point that they will not have a new starting quarterback from game one of the preseason, and it's hard to picture a scenario where Caleb Williams isn't that guy. I do believe Caleb Williams will be the number one overall draft pick for the Bears, and I went into the combine thinking that pretty confidently, and there have only been more dots connected to the Bears throughout this entire week, and definitely a feel of on the Justin Fields side of things that he probably will be traded. That's just that is what is in place as of right now. Thursday night at the combine, that's what everything feels like. And look, I know the reports have started to come out about Caleb Williams in terms of his height. I don't know. Some of my colleagues were saying that they think he is a legit 6'1". You know, just from my perspective, when I did see him yesterday, I thought he looked a little bit shorter than. I'm not saying Bryce Young size, and I'm not saying under 6 feet tall. But I was not right next to him, so that probably should be made clear. I was very close to him. I was probably about, 10 yards away from Caleb Williams when I saw him. That is still something that is being thrown around. And I said this earlier this morning on Mullen Hall when I got to be on with those guys today, that it's important. Height is good in the NFL. Justin Fields, for example, 6'3". A lot of the great quarterbacks have been 6'4" and bigger. That's Tom Brady, 6'5". That's ideal size. So relative to other quarterbacks, yeah, Caleb Williams is a little bit shorter, but with all the arm angles that he has and all the ability that he has seen, like you go back and watch the film, you watch whole games of Caleb Williams, and you can see that he has very little difficulties with vision and anything that would go up against his height. I get it. It's a different beast once you get to the NFL, and that will be something that will be monitored, assuming Caleb Williams is here, that part of it. Because it's always possible that everybody's wrong and that Caleb Williams is a bust, but I don't even want to go there right now. I remember the early whispers of, is Justin Fields all that? And like, could he bust? And I know if you're a Bears fan, you don't even want to think about those kinds of possibilities, but that's the way I feel about things. It's difficult to tell when they will trade Justin Fields. I know that Ryan Poles, said that he wants to do good by Justin Fields, but the Bears, unfortunately, it's a business, man. The Bears have to be the number one priority. And if you could take care of and make Justin Fields happy in the process because he's a good dude, then you absolutely do that. By the way, today at the Combine, we're not going to get too deep into this. I talked about some of it on the Parkinson Spiegel show in my 5 p.m. hit. If you actually are jonesing for safeties, because the Bears are going to need a safety somewhere along the line to work next to Jaquan Brisker. We talked about safeties today on that. Heard from some of the guys, like the Oregon safety, Evan Williams. He's the guy that I had slotted in for the Bears with their third-round pick. Cam Kitchens, the safety out of Miami, probably a second or third round pick. Again, the Bears have that third round pick. Boston College cornerback Elijah Jones. I say cornerback because somewhere along the line, the Bears will have more cornerbacks on the roster. I don't know that Elijah Jones is going to be the guy, but he had 5 picks last year, a fifth year starter, and he's been very impressive, and he's one of those guys, Elijah Jones, who seems to be gaining a little bit of momentum for the Bears. Like, we know Jalen Johnson's going to be here. We'll get more into the Jalen Johnson situation a little bit later on. He's going to be here. You know who your starting cornerbacks are going to be, but Ryan Poles has put that down as a premium position and always mentions it. So just don't be surprised if cornerback comes into play at some point in time in this draft. So that's what we did today. The quarterbacks will speak tomorrow. Meantime, let's get to one of my conversations from the Combine here in Indianapolis. I ran into Chris Sims of NBC Sports and the former quarterback. His dad is Phil Sims. Maybe some of you know Phil as a broadcaster. I remember him very well as a quarterback as well because, the Bears beat them in 85 in that first game of the playoffs on their way to winning the Super Bowl. So how could I forget him? But Chris Sims is great to talk to, and we began the conversation with Justin Fields.
I'm a believer in Justin Fields. To me, he turned the corner here, and I look at Justin Fields and go, you can win football games, and you can get where you want to go with Justin Fields. Now, is it around the mold maybe we all envision or want it to look like? I don't know about that, right? But there's things about his game where I go, man, that's special, and I see progress, and there's a lot of positives there. But, I mean, the other part of the question is, no, I don't feel like that he's going to be the quarterback of the Bears next year. In fact, I would say no way. I don't think that's happening. You know, there's for a lot of reasons. Some of the talk I heard yesterday from Ryan Poles and Eberflus talking about wanting a quarterback at the end of the game situations and all that, that was a – I don't want to say – it was a direct indictment on Justin Fields.
Whether they meant to do it or not.
They meant to or not. Exactly what that was. So that's a thing of them saying basically, hey, we're out there looking for a guy that can be better in that department, right? So they're kind of letting you know with that. I think that speaks volumes. Justin Fields not following them on Instagram, that didn't just happen because he's had conversations with them, their representation, all that. So I'm sure he has a feel of where this is going. I go back to Ryan Poles. Where did he come from? Kansas City. Right? Oh, they drafted a Mahomes. Caleb Williams has got a lot of Mahomes-ness in him, right? GMs and head coaches usually don't like to get fired without going out swinging with a guy they picked at quarterback. With all those things I say right there, yes, Caleb Williams will be the quarterback of the Chicago Bears next year.
We use the terminology generational prospect. Yeah. Is Caleb Williams a generational prospect?
He has generational talent, right? I'm not, you know, prospect means he's polished and perfect and ready to go in all areas. But the talent is eye-popping. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, I haven't, like, deep-dived these guys yet, right? So I've done, I did a little just to get a feel so I could talk to them. My big takeaway would be that there's not going to be a conversation about the number one quarterback in the draft this year. That's not going to happen. It's him. And then we can start to talk about the rest of the other guys. But there's a gap. So that's what I'll say. And then, yes, his arm strength, his ability to throw the ball at all the crazy platforms, and then his athleticism, which I think was the thing that kind of surprised me more than I realized. Man, his side-to-side movement, the way he can break tackles and make people miss in space, it's better than I thought it was just watching college football on TV, right? So there's some things there that certainly are special.
Bears are in an interesting place because they're in kind of a quasi-rebuild. It is a rebuild. Yes. Year three of it. Yeah. 7 wins last year. They've got a pretty good defense that's ready to win.
Right.
So you bring in, if it is Caleb Williams, which we all assume it will be, is there time for development with Caleb Williams? I mean, or does this NFL not allow for that? I mean, assume you think he would play right from the beginning?
I would think so, yes. I would think that's part of the process here. You develop them while, you know, having some training wheels on them and do it that way, right? You know, again, I do get sick of a little, like, I think you've heard me say this before, quarterback. How about build the freaking team around them a little bit and not make the quarterback be the savior all the time? And that's where I'd like to see them go. And, you know, you rebuild, yeah, but like you said it right, there's a lot of key spots that I go, well, that doesn't need to be rebuilt. That's pretty good. You know, receiver, tight end, O-line's really close, right? You know, you look at, hey, linebackers were good, secondary, man, there's some players there, right? So I think the Bears are much closer than people realize. And they would be one of the teams I'd say watch out for next year. But, yeah, the big thing with Caleb Williams, and if I had to get into the negatives, would be just, hey, there's two things I want to find out. One, the person, the attitude, why didn't we talk to the media, you know, some other things like that off the field that I'd want to know about. The second thing is, hey, you know, he got loose with the ball a little bit towards the end of the year. Now, I think there's a lot of reasons around that circumstance, right, where, hey, the team wasn't good. I mean, it was pitiful defense, so he knew he had to do crazy stuff, right? Even offense. We're not talking about any USC people being in the first round. Right. In fact, no, we're the first two rounds.
Great point.
So that's he knew, oh, crap, I got to do this to make us stay in this football game. So that's where, if you're evaluating him, you're going to see a few throws and things where you go, damn, why did he throw that or why did he make that decision? But, you know, a little bit like Josh Allen with the Bills, when you're always asked to save the damn team, you're going to every now and then go, damn, I need to do this and that to help us win or we're not going to win. And I think he fell in that trap a little bit too.
Yeah, you mentioned building the team around the quarterback and whomever it is and not putting so much pressure on the Bears. Obviously have a great receiver in DJ Moore. They could use somebody opposite of him.
Yeah.
That said, they do have the number 9 pick.
Right.
and there are some talented wide receivers. Are there any guys that you're just kind of, and I know that you haven't done the full deep dive, but are there guys in this draft at nine that you think that could help out the Bears?
Yeah, well, I mean, again, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr., which I don't know, nine might be too late, right? Yeah. I am a little bit, I'm intrigued to really jump in on him because I hear slam dunk number three pick or number top five pick and all that. Man, that's a special thing to say about wide receivers.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been some really, really special players where I go, they didn't get drafted in the top five, and he is, right? So I'm interested to see if I really think he's worth that. I know he's a top 20 pick or anything like that, but top five is a different category. That's like you can't miss. He better be a superstar. It better be Randy Moss or Terrell Owens or something like that, right? So, but, hey, him and I think the kid at LSU, I think those are probably two guys that – to me would fit that mold. Adunze, good. I don't know if I'd be ready to put him right now in a top 10 pick category, right? But yeah, that's there to be had, and we'll see. You know, I mean, the Bears are sitting in at a pretty spot here right now. But again, I go to again what Ryan Poles said yesterday, the urgency, right? They got to do this soon. This is going to happen soon. You can't wait on this. You cannot. The longer it waits, more chairs are going to get filled for teams that needed quarterbacks. It's going to lessen your ability to get value for the trade. The second thing is you wait too long and everybody starts to find out that you are drafting Caleb Williams. Man, then the Justin Fields stock's going to go way down because teams are going to be like, oh, what are you going to do, keep Justin Fields in the locker room with DJ Moore who wants him as quarterback as Caleb Williams is going to be the quarterback? Yeah, tell me how that's going to work out. And that's going to drop the trade package even down lower because they're going to go, you're going to cut him now. Now you're stuck or whatever, right? So that's where they got to do this in a hurry.
Yeah, and when you say a hurry, do you mean in the next –
Few days? I think we're going to hear something in the next 2 weeks, 10 days. I do.
Okay.
I do.
Okay. Yeah. That'd be nice for everybody. I mean, hell, it'll be a relief for Ryan Poles. I mean, he kind of expressed that he...
No doubt about it. There's a part of me that's already like, hey, I wanted to almost say to him yesterday, like, hey, listen, if you know, just say it. Get it over with. What are we waiting for?
There's a market here
for Fields, whatever. Get it on. Get the show on the road.
Get these mics on.
I don't believe them that they don't know what they're going to do yet. They're still doing that. I'm not going to buy that crap. I'm throwing the challenge flag on Poles and Eberflus on that one.
Well, put Chris Sims down in the category of there is no gray area. Zero. Caleb Williams will be the Chicago Bears quarterback as we welcome you back into On the Clock. I am Mark Rohde at the Combine in Indianapolis. I will say one thing that I disagree with him on maybe not conceptually, but this is something that probably requires having lived in Chicago your whole life, and I have lived in Chicago and its land during my whole life, so I know this stuff. I am of you, as I like to say, Chicagoans. The fact that he said that, look, this is nice. I mean, the idea, of course, you want to build up around Caleb Williams, build up around the quarterback. I talked about that right at the outset of the show, or was it on one of the other shows I was on today? Sometimes it's hard to keep it all straight. This team is going to look different. You do have to make life easier for Caleb Williams because it's nice to make life easy for your young quarterback, but also because of, as we were talking about, the Bears, there is going to be expectation for the Bears going into this season, no matter who the quarterback is. They cannot afford to digress with what they did last year, getting to 7 wins. And I know it felt like an ugly 7 wins at times, and I don't know how real it all was, but things did get better. The defense looks legitimate, and because of that, you do not want to regress with where you are in the third year of this rebuild. There needs to be some winning that happens and some expectation of winning. But the part that I did not agree with Chris Sims, and this was not the time or place to debate him as he took the time to talk to me around his busy schedule today at the Combine, the fact that he says that Caleb Williams doesn't need to be the savior. No. We do need one of those guys. We have been looking for the savior for decades in Chicago and with the Bears. So I understood what he meant, but that did hit me a little bit because the Bears have generationally have
always tried to do that, have tried to build the team around, well, they usually have built the team around defense, but that's always it, except for a few big swings that the Bears have taken in terms of having the quarterback that you win because of. That was the idea when they tried Jay Cutler. That was the idea when they tried Mitch Trubisky. You know, you had some nice moments with Eric Kramer in the past and Jim Miller in the past, and obviously Jim McMahon, and I don't want to go back to Sid Luckman, but I just went back to Sid Luckman. So the idea of you need to build around him, and he doesn't have to be the savior. It's the he doesn't have to be the savior line, and I know that's like a strong word, savior, but you want to have a quarterback with the Chicago Bears that you win because of. And I think that that's an okay expectation. Actually, I was going to say, you know, greed is good and all of that stuff. But in this case, it's just something the Bears have needed forever, and it's not greed. It's that is what this NFL is all about, having an elite quarterback, and it just so happens that you win because of that guy. Filling in a couple of other blanks here, too, on things that we talked about during that interview, just technical stuff. He said that the kid from LSU, neither he nor I actually said the name Malik Nabers, so shame on me for in the moment not saying the name Malik Nabers. He just said the kid from LSU. I got what he was saying, and probably most of you did, too, but I just wanted to make sure that that was out there as well. And other thing, too, is you heard him. He and I are totally on the same page on this one, talking about, you heard him mention Bears head coach Matt Eberflus, who basically was giving a big tell the other day when he was describing what he wants in a rookie quarterback or any quarterback. If you hear this, it should hit you a certain way.
I look at situations. You know, I look at the guys that can operate third down, 2 minute, in the end of the game situations. That to me is that's the separator for me. And then you look at toughness. You know, you got to look, and toughness for a quarterback really is about the mental toughness to be able to stand in the pocket and deliver the ball, and then also have the discernment to be able to move out of the pocket and create when it's necessary. So, and they come in all different shapes and sizes. It's always been fun to evaluate those guys.
Yeah, Matt Eberflus was right there. I mean, I thought the first part of that was like, that's like everything that Justin Fields isn't in terms of the fourth quarter and the clutch plays and all that. So I thought it was interesting, you know, that and I know, as we said during the interview, that Flus was not necessarily, I doubt it, that he was trying to make that point, but if that's what they like in a quarterback, those are things that Justin Fields has struggled in. Now, the part about the toughness, that is 100% there with Justin Fields. He is a tough quarterback. There's no doubt about it. And he does have the ability to get out of the pocket. By the way, I don't think Justin Fields sucks. Sometimes I feel like you know, throughout the season, even back in training camp, when I started to really wonder about Justin Fields when he wasn't looking good. And you know, you get people who hatefully disagree, let's just put it that way, oftentimes. And you know, people, oh girl, you hate Justin Fields, you hate him. It's not the case. I'm like all of you. Very excited when they drafted him, badly wanted him to succeed, as I've talked about. You know, I got to interview him after the games when I was doing sidelines, so I did have a good working relationship with the man. But at some point in time, you just got to be real about it. Hey man, even if they're your friends or working friends, you got to be real about it. And from training camp, something just still didn't seem to connect, and I thought that we saw that throughout this year for sure. When we return here on the clock from Indianapolis, I want to go through some of the key things from Ryan Poles and what he is looking for. And we'll talk about Jalen Johnson and kind of try to figure out exactly what is going on in that particular scenario and see what Ryan Poles finds, what he's doing at the combine in terms of what he really values during his time here. I've seen him several times throughout the week hustling. He's always got the earbuds in, always looks very serious. The man who's got to get somewhere. So, and we did talk to him earlier this week. So I'm going to bring some of that back and go through some of the things that I thought were important. Later on in the show, you're definitely going to want to hear Josina Anderson of CBS. She and I got into the future of the combine, and she has some skepticism, does Josina, about that. So we'll talk about that a little bit later on. I'm Mark Grody, live.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
In Indianapolis for the NFL Combine, covering the Chicago Bears right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Let's get back to more Bears draft talk with On the Clock featuring Mark Grody right here on Sports Radio 670 The Score and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Caleb Williams won't be your savior. That's what a text from the 708 said that just caught my eye. It's not exactly a bold statement or bold prediction when talking about Chicago Bears quarterbacks. I mean, if history means anything, then the texter is probably right. And if the Bears had been in a situation last year where they did decide to draft a quarterback, and you know, God forbid that they took Bryce Young. I don't know. I mean, who knows if CJ Stroud, if he did go to the Bears, if he would have been successful. It has been a rough ride at quarterback. So while I disagree, I do think Caleb Williams is going to be a good quarterback. If somebody would like to suggest that a quarterback in Chicago won't be the savior, I'm not trying to argue with you. Oh, and then another text, putting way too much pressure on Caleb Williams without having played one down. Normally, I would agree with you, but I think that we have a different animal here in Caleb Williams. Like I think he's eaten it up in terms of, I think he, you know, and I like this about him. It seems that he loves the attention, you know, seems like a pretty gregarious guy, and, you know, seems like a dude that wants to be great, at least from the things that he has said historically in his recent history. So we're going to see. One other text from 630. Caleb Williams is at least as good as Justin Fields. Drafting Caleb is the better option because he will be far cheaper than he is on the rookie contract. Of course, of course. We've been saying that from the beginning. You reset the rookie clock, and trust me, man, I was listening to the Cincinnati Bengals press conferences, and they were, because you could just walk around the combine and kind of choose your own adventure, and I was just, let's see what's up with what's going on here with the Bengals. And what I literally heard as I walked up was him saying, well, you know, with having the contract that we do with Joe Burrow, you know, he's got the money, you know, so he was literally talking about how there were things that they have to be conservative with because of the max contract to the quarterback, Joe Burrow. And I don't need to explain all that. You guys get how it works. So the clock would be reset, and that would mean that, in, you know, theoretically, you can add other assets, invest in other parts of your team, and build around what everybody hopes is going to be an elite quarterback. We're going to get to Josina Anderson as we broadcast live from Indianapolis here at the NFL Combine, talking about the Bears. Josina Anderson of CBS, formerly of ESPN. We're going to talk to her here in just a few minutes. But I want to talk a little bit about what Ryan Poles and what he's got going on down here specifically, in terms of some of the interviews that have been going on. And one of the things that I was curious about to him is, you know, how much does what is going down at the combine, how much does it mean to him? The conversations that he will be having with potential prospects, and already had the conversation with Caleb Williams, how much does all of this mean? Take a listen to Ryan Poles.
Ryan, I know you said you weren't going to make a big reveal today in terms of what you're doing.
I have nothing to reveal at all.
Yeah, no, I totally understand.
Yeah, I know.
That's what a week. Yeah, that's what a week. Do you have an idea? What's the percentage of what you think you know right now ahead of the combine? Like, how important is the combine in making the decision?
Yeah, right now it's like 100 different scenarios that you go down and try to plot out, and you're forecasting forward to see what's going to work out and probabilities and things like that. But at the end of the day, the human being part, getting to know someone, getting to know a group of people is really going to determine that there's going to be options that pop up all the time that you don't see coming. I think I said it last year, like something will happen at some point in the next few months that no one expects. So you got to be on your toes for that. So the picture will change as we go.
I do love the unexpected portion of this, and he's right. And we haven't had that breaking news yet, but there is, like, the underlying part of it is, and you hear me, and you heard Chris Sims, and I think they're going to draft Caleb Williams. Chris Sims, there's no gray area with him. He thinks they're going to draft Caleb Williams, but you never know. I mean, you do have to allow for the possibility that Ryan Poles sees things differently, that if maybe there is a wild card, maybe he's a big Jaden Daniels fan, maybe he fell in love with Drake May, as actually our next guest you will hear supporting Drake May as a player in just a little bit. Maybe somebody saw Bo Nix and said, oh, wait a minute, maybe Ryan Poles like that guy, man. Maybe he's that guy that does think that J.J. McCarthy is going to be elite and great. Michael Penix Jr. And by the way, I can't wait to hopefully talk to all of those guys tomorrow. Caleb Williams will be my complete focus. But I'm looking forward to hearing from these guys. I mean, we've been talking about them and thinking about them all for so long, but just to get some questions answered and see what they're like and get an idea for what they might be thinking. But Yeah, the big surprise hasn't really happened down here in Indianapolis yet in terms of some sort of blockbuster. And it was Ryan Poles making the big move last year, not at the combine, but shortly thereafter. So we'll see, and we'll see if it's the Bears that do something. I think it's very likely. I mean, I keep on making, my picks based on that they will have the number 9 pick. I think there's definitely a scenario where the Bears don't have the number 9 pick, whether they probably trade down maybe a couple of picks like they did last year. That would not surprise me in the least, but we shall see. Another big topic for Ryan Poles is his starting second team All-Pro cornerback, Jalen Johnson. And Ryan Poles was pretty open about where things stand on a potential contract agreement and a long-term one at that.
Jalen Johnson. In the process of getting Jalen Johnson done, conversations are going well at this time. We feel like we've done a really good job kind of coming to the table strong, showing the respect that he's due just in terms of his production through his career, and really an emphasis on the turnovers that he created this past year. Our expectation is that's going to continue to go as he's with the Bears. When I say coming strong, that means cash flows are strong, guarantees are strong. The term is strong for him. Being hit with his age, there's a really good opportunity for him to go back to the market again and continue to earn money and play well, and hopefully that's with the Bears for a long period of time. So I'm excited about that. Like I've said about those deals all the time, it takes two to tango, and you got to find a place that everyone feels comfortable with. So I feel really good about that situation.
Term is strong for him. Yeah, I mean, that makes it sound like it's a 3 or 4 year deal, as Paul said, that indicated that he'll still be young when he gets out of that contract, and that means he can go get more money from somebody else or from the Chicago Bears. So clearly Ryan Poles believing that they have put in front of Jalen Johnson what they feel to be a fair deal. It's also pretty obvious that they have put the ball in his court. I mean, that little "it takes two to tango" line says everything. That's everything right there. So Ryan Poles did everything but say, yeah, he's got it, and we gave him the pen if he'd like to sign it. We'd very much like Jalen Johnson to continue being a part of the Bears. I do believe it was about David Montgomery last year before, after the season had ended, that he gave the "it takes two to tango" line. So, and we know that David Montgomery ended up with the division champion Detroit Lions this year. So I believe, I have to go back and confirm that, but I'm almost positive that it was in regards to David Montgomery that he said that "it takes two to tango" last year. And when it felt like, yeah, David Montgomery's coming back, and then nope. I said, I think I'd rather go to Detroit. And at least for last year, David Montgomery certainly made the right decision. I will tell you this too. I didn't like miss David Montgomery a ton. Like, there weren't too many times during the season where I was like, man, if only David Montgomery was here. But David Montgomery still would have been the best running back on the Bears. He would. I mean, he's still better than Khalil Herbert. He is better than Roshon Johnson, better than Dante Foreman, on their roster last year. He would have been, still would have been the best running back on the team. So, they didn't have the best guy, and that's what happened last year. Last cut from Ryan Poles before we get to Josina Anderson. That talked about the potential timing of a potential Justin Fields trade.
It just depends on what opportunities pop up. I will say this. I think you guys know me well enough now. I do, if we go down that road, I want to do right by Justin as well. No one wants to live in gray. I know that's uncomfortable. I wouldn't want to be in that situation either. So we'll gather the information. We'll move as quickly as possible. We're not going to be in a rush. And see what presents itself and what's best for the organization.
Did you talk to him? I know he made those comments last week about kind of living in limbo on this. Have you had conversations with him about where you guys are at right now in that process?
Yeah, so I've always felt, and I told him this after the season when we had our exit meetings, that transparency and communication is key in these moments. And I told him we will do that. So I've been in contact with his team and kind of let them know like what we're looking at, how things might play out, and that we'll continue to communicate as we move forward. Again, I understand how uncomfortable that is for him. But again, like I told him, and he understands, I think he said it the other day too, it's part of this business. It is a unique situation. So, but yeah, I'll continue that communication with them.
Brian Poles, there's one thing he's definitely been very good at, and that's the personal side of being a general manager and trying to be as fair as he possibly can to the player without affecting the organization. So it is good. And, yeah, I mean, it's good that he has the best of intentions for Justin Fields. But, again, as we said earlier, it has to be the team first, and it's, you know, it's hate to say it, but Justin Fields comes second to what you are trying to do with this team if they are going to go in the direction of ultimately trading him. So those are just some of my thoughts that I thought were the key takeaways so far this week in terms of what Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus have been saying this week. Another person that I got to talk to at the Combine is Josina Anderson, you know, former ESPNer. She's working for CBS these days and was doing a whole bunch of stuff for CBS HQ and talked to a ton of players. She has a wealth of knowledge when it comes to the NFL, and we had a good chat about the Combine.
Hi, Josina. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
You look ridiculously busy here today. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me.
Of course. We're at the Scouting Combine. This is what it is. It's not just evaluation of players, but networking and doing things like this. So happy to do it. Yeah,
yeah, there's so much. It's overwhelming. It's so easy to get tired here. I don't know about you, but I'm like ready for a nap at any given moment at the Combine.
And it doesn't stop, because after this, you know, people get dinners, and then the coaches go back into evening interviews, and then everyone goes to prime until 3 a.m. in the morning. So
yeah, and we do it all again the next day.
Again until Saturday. Saturday, so yeah.
You broke the news that Drake May will not be participating in the official Combine workouts. Why?
Well, I just think it's following the trend that we're seeing from other players as far as, you know, protecting what they feel like is their value coming into the Combine, and also not wanting to see it go anywhere else. Not that there's necessarily fear of that, but clearly when you're at your pro day, the environment is more controlled and things like that, which is a little bit sad, because on a greater scale, I'm actually kind of wondering what is the future of the Combine. You know, we have multiple coaches, 12, I think, at least, that did not show up. And, you know, as more and more of these athletes are electing not to do the main things, it's like, do you really need to be at the Combine to do an in-person interview? And so... is this going to get regionalized to, you know, the Big Ten Conference and all these other things? Are they going to break this up? I personally feel like the league should mandate that, it, you know, you have to be here, especially if you're invited and you want to come into the league. And because I think that it's not just about the players and it's not just about the coaches, but even the media. We are a part of the ecosystem. And, you know, not only do we need the stories, but we feed, you know, the interest. And so I think I think there should be a multi-consideration thing that I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
I think that the NFL is definitely interested in the whole thing being a spectacle in a good way, because it obviously, you know, they've made it now prime time and it generates ratings, and they're trying to maintain a calendar from January all the way through December every year. So for them, it's what have you. But you do have coaches that are out there, and I'll keep them nameless, who are, you know, asserting themselves more and feeling like it's pointless because they feel like they can get video of the drills, you know, where they are. They feel like they can do the in-person interviews with the people that they want to do it with later, and get more vacation time. But the question is, should the teams who are actually having losing records be professing what they think doesn't work and doesn't, you know, work? So that, you know, that is another debate and question. But obviously, selfishly, as a member of the media, we would love for everybody to be here.
We're having a pretty big debate in Chicago about quarterbacks, and it's two people. It's Justin Fields. It's Caleb Williams. What direction do you think the Bears should go at quarterback this year?
Well, listen, I'm a, you know, I am definitely in favor of young prospects trying to start their career and bud their career. You know, that being said, and not that this pertains to every prospect, but I would say by and large, I tend to lean towards known commodities because the idea is to win immediately. Mm-hmm. Now, politically, there are reasons sometimes to go with the younger prospect as far as not just from having more longevity, but if you have a staff in place that potentially might be concerned about their own futures, the in-house staff can buy themselves time by getting a younger prospect because you have a built-in explanation to say, oh, this person needs time, this person needs it's time. So, you know, how much is the front office staff, and I'm just talking about front office staffs in general, you know, trying to do what's in the best of the immediate, you know, for the fan base, and also protecting their own individual jobs?
Because in theory, if Justin Fields came in, stays, maybe you improve on the 7 wins this year. If Caleb Williams comes, you have to at least account for the possibility that he's going to have a rookie year.
And it could work out, you know, quickly, and he could just have, you know, in a phenomenal, you know, year, and that could amount to more wins than maybe Justin. But I would have to think philosophically that if you were bringing back Matt Eberflus, you did that based off of the fact that you felt like something went right from last year, and presumably Justin Fields is a part of that, right? So why is the coach then more a part of the success by getting to get renewed, and Justin Fields is in question?
No, that's a great question. But while we're on Matt Eberflus, yes, I mean, there was a lot of consternation in the media and the fans about whether or not he would be back. Do you think that this is his third year? Do you think Matt Eberflus deserved to be back?
Well, I think that, you know, you have to give credit to the fact that the team finished stronger towards the end of the season. But I do think simultaneously you have to look at the quality of the wins and the quality of the opponent. And I think when you stack up, you know, who the Bears got those wins against, for me it was less impressive because they weren't necessarily against top-tier, top, you know, post season teams. Now, if you were beating the Ravens and the Chiefs and you were beating the 49ers and all that other stuff, it would be more meaningful. But if it's against lesser teams, it's a little less meaningful, you know, for me. Not to take away from Matt, not saying he's not a, you know, good coach, and certainly not to take away, you know, from Justin Fields. But I don't know. It comes also down to personal taste. I tend to, you know, want someone, you know, for me that is, I guess, comes across, you know, maybe more enigmatic, you know, and I don't even know if that's the right word, but like more charismatic rather, in certain ways, and just how the personality is, but also how that comes across to the players and how they lead and things like that. And that's just from looking at it from afar. I'm not in the building like you guys are every day, but I am a person that has covered the league for 20 years and feels like I can discern vibe. And this is why last year when I went into the Ravens locker room, I was like, you know what, I feel a really special energy with this team, and they were right on the brink. They should have actually been on the Super Bowl, and simultaneously the year before that I said I feel something special in the Eagles locker room, and they were, you know, in the Super Bowl. So I feel like I can detect when that glue is authentically there and not, and I still think it's up for debate whether, you know, Eberflus is that, you know, part of that glue, at least on a long-term you know, prospect.
Any vibes on who that team's going to be this year, or do you got to get yourself into a locker room and check out those vibes?
Yeah, I do that in person more so in terms of talking to the players and, you know, being able to assess. But also it's not just being in person, but assessing how the team was knitted together. So, for example, to contrast, you had the New York Jets, right, that had a lot of young stars. And sometimes when your stars are so young, it makes it a little bit more difficult to establish leadership. So you had the Garrett Wilsons, you had the Sauce Gardners. And yes, you do have some veteran guys in there, but in comparison to the Jason Kelseys, in comparison to the Brandon Grahams and the Fletcher Cox, those guys are really like yard minders. You see what I'm saying? Like, try to really do something in that locker room. So you need a really great, and it's not for me, it's for a GM, it's not just about assessing talent. It's can you really knit a team together in terms of how you balance personalities and create the checks and balance?
Yeah, well, let me ask you this then, because one thing that I can tell you from being in the Bears locker room, they love Justin Fields. Like, there's a real chemistry in the locker room. I've always said that the players they can make new chemistry with Caleb Williams if he was to come. But it sounds like you would probably lean towards the side of that's pretty damn important that Justin Fields is beloved in there. Do you think it would be that easy for somebody else just to, you know, if Justin Fields is gone, somebody else comes in? Do you think it would take the players time to get used to that?
Well, each aspect of energy has its own DNA. So if Caleb came in, then you would have a different type of energy because it would be the enthusiasm of new energy, right? So then you're going to have the positivity of just the fact that he's new. But then at some point, there has to be discernment over what he actually is. And so if he has a great start, then that feeds into it and it snowballs into something that's building more positive energy. Likewise, as a somewhat of an unknown commodity at the NFL level, if he struggles off the top and the Bears start off 2-6, how are we feeling about that? So it's energy and assessing vibe is a fluid thing, but some aspects of it are flat in the sense of, you know, the pieces that come together to knit the team are the pieces that come together to knit the team. And that starts with the GM. But, you know, I did feel like, you know, with the Jets team, I felt like the balance was off. And then you had stars that weren't so comfortable speaking up because they were young.
Mm-hmm. Last couple things for you, Josie, and I appreciate your time. I didn't even ask you, is Caleb Williams your top quarterback on the board? Do you have rankings? Is Drake May your number two? I mean, how have you figured it all out? Yeah, you're smiling right now, but
well, I would say, I mean, obviously I have a natural affinity for Drake. He is a, you know, the alum from my school, so I went to North Carolina, so you know that's in our blood that we have to support. It's a birthright to attend Carolina.
Gotcha. Yeah.
They might revoke my alum status if I don't say that.
I actually do like
Drake. I had an opportunity to meet him in Vegas and at the Super Bowl, and obviously, you know, be connected, you know, with the combine and things like that. But to be truthful, and I'm always very transparent, you know, I am not a huge avid follower of college football. I've been covering the league for 20 years, and my credo is that I wait for them to come to the combine before I start paying attention. Because one, it's too many of them, and not only that, but I'm traveling on Saturdays for games on Sunday, so I don't really get a chance to watch, and I'm very honest about that. However, I do feel when I do get the opportunity to look at tape myself and look at YouTube and just watch it myself, I can definitively tell you who is my, you know, my personal or not person. I remember doing that 2 years ago with Garrett Wilson. Just I looked at his highlights and I was like, it's not just something I'm making up. You can go on Twitter when I've done this and I say, these are my picks.
Uh-huh.
And oh, by the way, Garrett ended up being the offensive rookie of the year. And it's just, I also think it comes from my track background and being able to analyze how guys move,
uh-huh,
you know, just the things that I look for as far as assessing somebody that I may potentially pick.
I think my last question is Justin Fields. And what is your thoughts of the first 3 years of him in the NFL or what he did last year? What do you think of Justin Fields?
I feel like he did a good job of getting over his skis and starting to show, you know, what he can do when he gets into more of a lather and getting the consistent opportunities and staying healthy. You know, again, good quarterbacks don't grow on trees, and even before you make a decision to switch quarterbacks, I always say you have to make sure that the girlfriend that's in the hopper is better looking. So you have to make sure. You see what I'm saying?
I got you.
So you can always complain, but if the person behind the person you have is not any better, then what are we really talking about?
Uh-huh.
And I think he has tons of potential to grow. You know, the thing that I look for even more than that is, I guess as a former D1 athlete myself, one of the non-statistical chart traits that I look at is how someone handles pressure. I think by and large, over and over and over again, that is a huge indicator of how, you know, the athlete is going to do. Do they have the Kobe Bryant, do they have the Tom Brady gene? Not obviously just from the playing standpoint, but, you know, blood pressure dropping with 2 minutes to go and they're unfazed. That's what I need. If you're a hot rookie and you catch all the, you know, balls that you can between games 1 and games 15, that's great. But when we needed you to catch the one, you know, in game 17, that was going to be the difference between us advancing or not. Did you catch it or not?
Justina, this has been great. Thank you so much.
Yeah. No, it's obviously fun. I love being able to have camaraderie with all of our, you know, fellow personnel and media and things like that and in the NFL. And so it's a great opportunity to, you know, work and have fun.
Yep. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Appreciate it.
Some really good stuff there from Josina Anderson of CBS and CBS HQ. As usual, the On the Clock Hour flies. You know, she was talking a lot about locker room. Bears have an A-minus locker room. I wasn't kidding. I told you guys about that good locker room. Players all vote on this stuff this year, and those grades came out. A-minus of a locker room. This hour did fly by, but guess what? We're back tomorrow from 6 o'clock till 7 o'clock. I'll be live in Indianapolis from the National Combine. It's close enough. From the NFL Combine. And tomorrow, we should be hearing from Caleb Williams. He is expected to talk tomorrow. I will be front and center, and I will bring you the audio on the Clock tomorrow. We are also scheduled to talk to NFL insider Tom Pelissero. So I'm very much looking forward to tomorrow. And who knows? Maybe the whole show flips and something crazy happens and we're not talking about any of that. Who knows? It's a fluid situation here in Indianapolis at the NFL Combine. Stick around. because I'm hearing rumors that Gabe Ramirez is coming up next. Gabe Ramirez will take you from 7 o'clock until 9 o'clock here on The Score, and I know he'll be talking lots of Bears as well. Hope everybody has a great night. Thanks for the text messages. I look forward to talking to you tomorrow throughout the day, updating you from the Combine, and back with you at 6 o'clock on The Clock on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.